Okay, we're deep in the sugya of what the essence of the hefker of Shemitah is about. What does it mean? And what we have learned is that there's a huge machlokas between two of the great tzaddikim of Tzras, the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. And the question of how do we define the hefker, the mitzvah of shmita, tishmetana unatashta, of letting go. How do we define the mitzvah of letting go? Now, even to use the word mitzvah, the mitzvah of letting go, we could understand that according to the Beis Yosef, it seems, we have, as individuals, as Jews, we have a mitzvah to do something, to be mafkir our fields, to be mafkir our fruits and vegetables and so on, everything, to be mafkir. Because remember, the Beis Yosef seems to be of the view that the din of Shemitah is a halacha of akakafta de garbage. It's a din on the person himself to be mafkir his field and so on, his property, to be mafkir everything. It's a halacha on the person himself. And according to that view, if it's a din to be mafkir everything, we could understand that that's the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Shemitah, what's the mitzvah? The Torah is telling you, tishmitzena unetashta, let go. How do you let go? You make it hefker. So the Beis Yosef seems pretty straightforward. And, of course, the other side of that is that you have the choice, what? Not to let go. And so it just seems you have the choice not to let go. And you could stand there. I mean, you're doing a bad thing. Hashem doesn't want you to do that. But, according to what we've learned so far, it seems that the Beis Yosef would be saying that a person says, you know what? I don't want to do that mitzvah. I understand that you gave us a mitzvah to let go. I'm not doing it. There are other mitzvahs I don't do, and this is one that I'm not doing. I'm not doing this, I can't afford it, I'm nervous, I'm not doing it. So I'm not letting go. So I'm not mocking my parents. I want you to know that you tell this guy that comes up to your field, he's stopping by, he thought he'd help himself to a little bit of breakfast or something, and you say, you see that sign over there? It says, non-Shemitah. No, you know, not Shemitah observant. I'm not the guy like in Hamodiya or in, you know, Yateh Ne'eman. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Sorry. And the guy says, I don't care what you're doing. I'm going to help myself at Shemitah. According to this view, it could very well be, it seems that this person who would go ahead and help himself, despite the fact that the owner says, no way, it could be that the guy that's helping himself is what? He's a ganav. He's stealing. There's a mitzvah of tishmetena unatashta, and this point has to be very clear. There's a mitzvah to be mafkirit. If you're not mafkirit, l'chayra, it's not hefker. If it's not hefker, then if you take it, you're a ganav. If it's not hefker, then there's a chiyuv of what? Trumas and maisus. And you have to take care of trumas and maisus. Whoever would have to take care of trumas and maisus, whoever buys it. You have to take care of trumas and maisus if it's not hefker. Right? So it seems, so far, according to the way that we were learning, it seems that it's like there's a very strong, clear view. The mitzvah of Shemitah, it's like all other things in life, it's a matter of choice. If you choose not to be mafkir stuff, it's not hefker. You shouldn't do that. You should be mafkir. But if you choose not to, it's not hefker. So from the Beis Yosef, we hear the words tishmetana unatashta as a positive commandment, telling the person, be mafkir your field. And if the guy doesn't want to, so you can call him a rasha, but the lemaisa, according to this, what we've learned so far, it's not hefker. The other extreme, his neighbor in Tzras, the mabit, the other side of that would be, so far according to what we learned, we're going to see something very, very amazing. Mr. Shem, hopefully we'll be able to, I don't know if we'll be able to finish it, this sugi today, probably next time. The other extremes seems to be very, very kitsoni. And not only is it kitsoni, not only does it seem to be very, very extreme, but it does seem to be supported by a number of comments that I found in the Gemara, where we find that in regard to Shemitah, there's a term that's being used in a number of places with Shemitah and Yovel. That's the term, what? Afkata? Demalka. Afkata the Malka means that the king, the Melech Malka and Lochem, he's the one that's taking care of Shemitah. According to the extreme understanding of that, black and white understanding of Afkata the Malka, doesn't make a difference what signs you put up. Doesn't make a difference that you're screaming and yelling, you're a ganav, how dare you touch my fruit. If it's Afkata the Malka, it means that Hashem is the one who's maskir, the Melech Malka and Lochem says, he announces on Shemitah, ki li aretz, li kol aretz, the world is mine. I'm maskir your field. You could put a barbed wire, you could put guards, you could put German shepherds. Doesn't make a difference. If somebody manages to get past all that and grab an apple, it's his. What you're doing, you're a Russia. As far as the land itself, it's hefker. I made it hefker, Hashem says. In which case, if somebody takes, wouldn't be Gneva, Aleph, and also there's no Trumas and Isis. Now the because it's hefker. Hashem made it hefker. And the bigger question, which is the one that's going to lead us into a whole discussion we'll have for a few weeks about the Heter Mechira, about this whole business about selling to Goyim, right? Heter Mechira. The real question they were actually arguing about is what is the din of the Teiras of Goyim? You buy something from a Goy. See, here we have a fascinating question, because here we have an individual, the Goy, who's not commanded to do anything in this field. He's not commanded to make anything happen. He's a Goy. So no one told him he has to be mafker his stuff. So there's no mitzvah for a Goy. He doesn't care about, and he doesn't have to care. It's not one of the seven mitzvahs. When it says in the Turkish, Metanu Natashta, let go of your field, Hashem's not talking to him. So he's a nice guy. He's not doing anything wrong, because God never told him to let go of his field. So, if God never told him to let go of his field, it means that the Goy owns this, it's the fruit of a Goyisha field. L'chara, then, it's very black and white. The Beis Yosef would say, It's the fruit of a Goyisha field. It's not hefker. Of course, you can't steal it. That's number one. And number two, if you get this and the Jew finishes up the, you know, he puts it into the bushels and finishes it all up, so then the din is that he's chayfet to go through his emerses. He's chayfet to go through. It's not hefker. The Goy is not commanded to be mafker anything. And you got it from the Goy, you bought it from the Goy, or the Goy gave you a gift. Of course, you have to take off through his emerses. It's not. It does not have Kedushas Shvias. It doesn't have the Kedusha of the seventh year. A guy is not commanded in the seventh year. Can you give you one? Let me just say the Had Mabit would say that, and then now the Had Mabit would say like this. Had Mabit, and this is what he's saying. The Mabit says, look, I don't care who owns this field. It doesn't make a difference who has the temporary deed. The Baruch Shalom is the owner of the world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he's mafkir, all of Eretz Yisrael, and everything is hefker. The fact that the Goy right now has the deed, the title to that piece of property, that doesn't change the metaphysical reality that Hashem's expressing his bailus in the seventh year, and he takes back what's his for that year. He takes back what's his. So then Mabit would say, Aleph, there's no Trumas and Maisis. It's hefker. The guy was never mafker anything. We're not being mafker anything. It's hefker by definition. It's Eretz Yisrael. It's the seventh year. You don't have to take off. The guy doesn't have to say anything. It's hefker. So there's no Trumas and Maisis. And then what about Kedusha Shvius? So the Mabit says, Avada. It has Kedusha Shvius. It has, this is Shemitah fruit. This has Kedusha Shvius. Because why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared all of Eretz Yisrael Shemitah. It doesn't make a difference that there's a guy in between, some guy that's made a deal with you. The Metzius is, there's Nafkai to the Malka. And if there's Nafkai to the Malka, means that it all has Kedushas Shviz, it's Kedushas Shemitah, and therefore, even though it's the Paris of a guy, there's no Trumas and Isis, and it has the Kedusha of Shemitah. You have to treat it like Shemitah fruit. It has Kedusha Shvius. How you have to treat Kedusha Shvius, we'll talk about Mirsham later in the year. But it has Kedusha Shvius. It's Kaddish. It's holy. This is the black and white, what we've learned so far seems to be this huge machlokas that has, obviously, not just it has Nafkim Lamaisa, we're talking about people earning a livelihood. We're talking about people managing. People surviving and people making a living, and whether or not you can have a Heter Mechir, you can't have a Heter Mechir, which we're going to get to. We're not going to go into all the history of the Heter Mechir. This is really the question of what's the definition of the of Tishmetenu Natasha. Now, again, give me one more second. So the Mabit So what does he do with the pasuk Tishmetenu Tasha? The Torah says you have to do something. It's a mitzvah. So the Mabit seems to be saying, no, the mitzvah is Shave off us. And there's the mitzvah that the Torah is telling you, just let go. Just sit back and let everything happen. Just sit back. Again, let everything happen. We, of course, Chazal made a takana that you should make some sort of offense, because otherwise we're afraid that bad people are going to do things. But the mitzvah of the etzem, I mean, deraisa, the mitzvah is you just let the Baruch Shalom take over here. You go learn, go spend some time with the family. If you want to visit somebody in Chutzlar, do what you like. But this is what's happening. Your mitzvah is not to be moneya, not to prevent that from happening. So, the mitzvah is not to prevent. It's an interesting mitzvah. Tishmetenu Natashta. The mitzvah is do not prevent it from happening. That's the black and white presentation that we've heard so far. What we're going to learn today from Rav Moshe Feinstein and from Rav Kook, Zichrono Livracha, is that it can't be so black and white. It cannot be. It's nuanced, and the difference is not as vast as it appears. It can't be that the Beis Yosef rejects offhand any concept of Afkat and Malkin. It can't be. It's found in the Gemara. It's found in a number of places in Chazal that there's an Afkat and Malkin that takes place. So what is the Afkat and Malkin? So until now, we've learned Ke'ilu, the Beis Yosef says, no, I don't go for that. There's no Afkat and Malkin. How could he not go for that? What does that mean? He doesn't go for that. On the other hand, the Mabit is being told that we've been saying to the Mabit, yeah, what about the mitzvah? Like, don't you have to mafka anything? Don't you have to do something? Don't you have to like declare your stuff after? Doesn't Hashem want a Jew to actively do a mitzvah and a shemitah? Somebody says, I don't care what you do. It doesn't make a difference. There's no mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. The only mitzvah is that don't do anything bad. Also, that's Shmeknish Gid. It doesn't smell like the truth. It doesn't smell like the truth. So, to present it, it would be very simple and neat and comfortable to say we have two really extreme views. But it wouldn't be honest. Because there are comments that are found both in the Beis Yosef and other sources of the Beis Yosef. Remember, the Beis Yosef wrote many books. Not just the Beis Yosef. And by the way, this view of the Beis Yosef is not found in the Beis Yosef. It's found in his tshuvas. That's called Afkas Rachel. It's not found in the Beis Yosef. It's found in his tshuvas. And he has other writings. In the case of Mishnah, that's his seif on the Rambam, it doesn't sound like it the way that it does that we've learned so far. And we have also comments that were made by the Mabit. And we find in the writings of his son, who was interpreting his father's writings, doesn't sound as extreme, just pure Afkat and Malka either. So, for the sake of truth, we have to try to understand what is this machlokas. And then, after we understand the machlokas, when we come to the question of the Hetem Mechir, we'll see that we're not talking about politics. Of course, there are always people that make that into the whole thing, politics. It's not politics. It's halach. It's machlokas mabit. And there is machlokas Mabit and the Beis Yosef. It's not politics. And we need to understand the nature of the machlokas and the nature of the heter based upon that machlokas. Yeah, Benyamin Rich. Yeah, okay. Good. So, in order for us to... I'm sorry, hi.
Just a quick question. With the guy, how does that fit into the machlokas of Yesh Kinyin and Belafkir?
Good. So the question, Yesh Kinyin, there are two things. Yesh Kinyin, Belafkir, Lafkir, Mekdusha Shviz. That is a very, very big part of what's going on over here. Does a goy have a kinyan? Is it possible for a goy to own property in Eretz Yisrael? What is the nature of that to be mafkiyah from Tumas Amaisus? To be mafkiyah from Shvius, from Shemitah? What exactly can a goy, what kind of ownership does a goy have? Bechlal. Right? All of that is part of this mix. Even though we didn't get into that, we're going to get into that with the Hetem Mechir when it comes down to Hetem. I don't want to bring that in right now because it could throw us off a little bit. But of course, what is the nature of Bechlal? The Torah says, Lo Sechane. We're not supposed to sell things to them in Eretz Yisrael. We're not supposed to sell property to Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. get, I don't know about a get tosher. If somebody keeps the shit, I mean, I'm talking about a stam a guy, you're not supposed to, a Ishmaeli, and else you don't sell property to a guy in Eretz Yisrael. So if a guy does buy and they have a legal thing, and they go to the bank and there's a mortgage and they're signed and everything, what does that mean? What is the ownership of land by a guy in Eretz Yisrael? What does that mean? What does that mean? Can a guy own some a piece of property in Eretz Yisrael? So it's a very, very big question. Also has tremendous significance. There are extremists who say that no, and you could have some Arabs that are living on some property for the last 200 years, and you have some extremists, some Yidden, that might mean well or maybe not, don't mean well, and they'll go in there and they'll take things or they'll kick the guy off their property and so on. Does that have any basis in halacha? I mean, they're screaming that yeah, they have no kinyan in Eretz Yisrael. A guy can't own anything itself. The Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, and therefore we're entitled to go and to help ourselves to their fruits and vegetables. We can go into their fields and climb over the fence. It's a very serious question. It's a very serious, very explosive question of how do we view the kinyan of a guy in Eretz Yisrael? What's the nature of that kinyan? It's definitely not the same as a Jew, but what is it? What is it when he signs the paper? When a Jew unfortunately sells some property to a guy in Eretz Yisrael, what is that? What happened? We have to talk about that. These are very serious questions. So, first let's talk about Rav Moshe. For Rav Moshe, we'll talk about for 2 minutes. And then we're going to talk about Rav Kook. We'll see Rav Kook inside. And then I found something very, very, very beautiful and very clear in the Sefer that those who were part of the Sefer Mitzvahs Chabur, we were learning from the Mitzvahs HaMelech for quite a few years, and he has a very, very clear summary and discussion of the Machlokes that will help us prepare to get ready for the discussion of the Hetter Mechira. So as far as Rav Moshe is concerned, he was really struggling with this view of the Mabit. That Rav Moshe of course accepted that there's nafkata to the Malka. Again, it's Beferish Gemara. But how could the Mabit seem to neglect any requirement for a Jew to perform any kind of a mitzvah as far as Shemitah is concerned? Is the Mabit saying, could the Mabit just be saying, just let it happen? Just to sit back and let it happen? It doesn't sound like that in Chumash. In Chumash it sounds like the Rishon wants to do something. Shemitah. Tishmitena unetashta. So Rav Moshe, again, in Yodei, in the third Chelik of Yodei, I was thinking of understanding, but you know, Rav Moshe is very, very hard. And it would take a lot of time just to work on the piece inside. But Rav Moshe can be summarized very easily. Rav Moshe is of the opinion that, first of all, he doesn't even quote the Beis Yosef in his Tshuvas, in the Tshuvas Avkas Rochel, in the Beis Yosef's Tshuvas. He talks about the Beis Yosef in the Kesef Mishnah, and the Mabit, of course we only have the Tshuvas of the Mabit, and he brings the Rav and the Shemitah, and Rav Moshe comes to the following conclusion. Rav Moshe says, there is, according to the Mabit, there is a requirement to do something. The requirement is for a Jew to declare, to vocally proclaim, by means of speech and also writing and so on. Anyway, the mitzvah is for the person to actually be mafkir, to be mafkir his field. That's the chiv of the person, lahafkir hasada bepeh. To articulate that he is conforming to the will of the Torah, to the afkaita of the Makkah that's taking place. If he did not do that, then he failed to perform the mitzvah, which is a mitzvah of hafkara. The mitzvah, according to the way Rav Moshe understands, the mitzvah is lahafkir es sadehu. And that should take place in a demonstrative way, in a clear way, the peth. Preferably in front of three other people. To be mafkir, hafkir should be in front of three people, to be mafkir his field, that's the maisei of Shemitah. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe says, if the person didn't do it, then he failed to perform the mitzvah of Tishmitenu Natashta. But the Metzius is, that it is still Hefker. Regardless of whether we did this or not, the Metzius is that it is still Hefker. Only the mitzvah saseh is to be mafkir. What Rav Moshe is telling us is that the mitzvahs are said to be mafkir does not create the mitzvahs of Shemitah. It's a mitzvah on the gavra. The mitzvah on the gavra, the mitzvah on the person is that I am commanded according to the Torah to be mafkir my field. If I don't, it doesn't change the reality. The reality, the mitzvahs is that it's hafkir because of an akait of the malka. But the requirement, he just talks about the Beis Yosef, but the requirement is to be mafkir the pet. Even if I didn't, the fruit has the kedusha of Shviz, of Shemitah, and Rav Moshe does not see the Beis Yosef as essentially arguing that, because he did not bring down the tshuva of the Beis Yosef and Afkas Rochel, and he just believes that the machlokis boils down to this, according to the Ma'abit, that the entire mitzvah is to just say the peh, but even if you don't, it's still not kai to the malka. According to the Beis Yosef, the mitzvah is to be mafkir, and there is, however, a difference that if he is not mafkir, then because of his failure to be mafkir, that he's able to retain the bialus in opposition to the afkaita de malka. In opposition, he's doing an aveira, and he's preventing the afkaita. A Jew has the power, the koach, to prevent the afkaita de malka from kicking in, from preventing it from taking place, preventing it from kicking in. What do the poskim say about this, about Rav Moshe's opinion? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach agrees. And the Ma'asham in Europe, the Ma'asham, the Bezhanerov, the Ma'asham, one of the great, great poskim in Poland, the Ma'asham also says that the mitzvah is to be mafkir v'peh. But it's interesting that with the exception of these two, again, I don't know, I didn't see everything, but with the exception of these two, it doesn't seem to be that the other poskim agree. This is, but I wanted to just bring this to your attention, that that's Rav Moshe's view, is that the mitzvah of Shemitah is to be mafkir b'peh, and if you don't, then the Ma'abit says, doesn't make a difference, everything happens anyway. The Beis Yosef would seem to be saying, well, if you fail to perform the mitzvah to be mafkir, then you could be preventing the afkaita of the malka from taking place. That's what seems to be Rav Moshe. Again, with the exception of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and the Ma'asham, who are great people, of course, that doesn't seem to be the prevalent view. However, the modern-day poskim, all the way down to Rabbi Yosef Zichron Levracha and Rabbi Avad Yosef Zichron Levracha, agree that every farmer should say the peh, hefker. He should. It doesn't hurt. And it doesn't hurt, and we have some great people that say that's the mitzvah. So Rabbi Avad Yosef and Rabbi Yosef and Rav Ozner, all of the great modern-day poskim, agree that l'chatchila, you should say it. But is it li'ikuva? Is it if you didn't? So they don't agree with Rav Moshe. They don't agree with Rav Moshe. But l'chatchila one should say, I'm mafkir everything. That's relatively straightforward. It's one more thing.
You actually have to say that I'm not mafkir
the... Yes. And then the machlokas would be, does that change anything? So according to the Ma'abit, it wouldn't change anything. It's just that you messed up your mitzvah. You didn't perform the mitzvah to be mafkir. According to Beis Yosef, it could actually affect the mitzvahs. That's what we need to go to Rav Kook. Because Rav Moshe doesn't go into that. And that's why it's a little bit confusing. Rav Moshe really doesn't go into it. Because Rav Moshe didn't, I don't know if he didn't see it, it's hard to know. Because he doesn't quote the tshuva of the Beis Yosef. It's very hard to know. It's, you know, Rav Moshe had a small library. He had a very small library. He was mostly Gemara, Rambam, and Rishonim. Is it possible that he didn't have the Afkas Rochel? I don't know if it's possible, but he certainly knew about it because it's brought down in many other places. I'm sure Rav Moshe knew about it. He doesn't bring it, so we need to look now into Rav Kook on the page in front of you, where it says Movo, the first page, Movo l'Shabbos Haaretz. We're going to read the words. It's only a few sentences. We'll read the words, and then in order to understand the words on a deeper level, we're going to see the Mrs. Hamelech. Rav Kook wrote an entire sefer about Shemitah that sent shockwaves through the entire Torah world for two reasons. One is because of its brilliance, its absolute unbelievable brilliance. At that point, he was still a young Talmud Chacham. Who who had only recently arrived from Europe, and he showed that he had a complete mastery of the entire subject of all Zeroin in such a way that everybody was taken aback by it. But it also fired up a tremendous amount of controversy. Ki'ilo, that's why there's this impression that people have that he was the one who was Mamsi, he created the Het HaMechir. That's total nonsense. He didn't create the Het HaMechir. He didn't create it. What he did was he presented an exceptionally lucid, powerful, compelling reason to use the Het HaMechira, that caused a lot of Choshev rabbis to get upset. That's basically what happened. And at that time he was still in Yafo, so it was before it got really messy. When he came to Yerushalayim, it got very, very messy. And they would always come back to the Het HaMechira. Like, that was one of the main things that upset a lot of the people, was the Het HaMechira. So we need to understand what's Rav Kook's view. It's bechlal not as extreme as many people think. Bechlal not. Rav Kook was talking about the time that he was living in. He didn't say this is la'olam va'ed, when life would get better and the economy would be better. He was talking about a crisis. And again, he wasn't mamsi the idea. He explained the idea. He wrote an entire sefer, Shabbos Aris, to explain the idea. In the Hakadamah, he sets forth in his introduction, in the Movo, the Shabbos Aris, he sets forth his basic view, and then throughout the sefer, he tries to substantiate it with logic and with rayas from all of Teresh Balta. For us, we're just going to do this sentence, and then we'll work on it. So you see where it's underlined, Ubamis? I think I underlined it before I focused on it. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Ubamis. So Rav Kook is responding to those who would think that the Beis Yosef rejects the whole concept of Hafkata the Malka. No such thing. Right? The Kiel, the Beis Yosef, is ignoring the Farish Gemaras that call Shemitah and Yovel of Kata the Malka. The Michas Chinuch that we learned inside last week seems to be saying that. The Michas Chinuch seems to be saying that the Beis Yosef is black and white. What we were talking about at the beginning today, that seemed that's the Michas Chinuch, black and white. Afkata the Malka, Mabit, Afkata the Malka, Beis Yosef, Hefke, a mitzvah of Hefke. So. That's the Michas Chinuch. Rav Kook can't accept that. Ubemes lahoisa klal das ha Beis Yosef kach. Ubemes, he says, klal, that's not the view of the Beis Yosef. That there's no such thing as Afkata the Malka. Ubemes lahoisa klal das ha Beis Yosef kach, she'ein shum din hefke b'shvies, ad she'yafkehu ba'atzma mufurash. The Beis Yosef, he said, never ever said that hefke depends entirely upon you being mafke. He never said that. The Beis Yosef never ignored or rejected that there is a level of Hefka that takes place because of Hefkata the Malka. He never said that. Lo ha'isa klal das Beis Yosef kach she'ein shum din Hefka b'shvius ad she'yafkehu ba'atzma mufurash. Kilo, all of us, if nobody, let's say, the God forbid, not one farmer would be mafkir his property, then Shemitah would be a regular year. And like nothing happened. He said the Beis Yosef never said such a thing. He says, Rav Kook says, it's clear that the Beis Yosef agrees that the underlying Yisod, the foundation of what's happening in Eretz Yisrael in the seventh year, is that there's an Hafkata the Malka that takes place. Yad HaKol Shavabo Upotim and Hamaisus. And therefore the Beis Yosef agrees that Yad HaKol Shavabo, that anybody could take and help themselves, Upotter and Hamaisus. And that the fruits of Shemitah are Potter from Trumas Hamaisus because they're Hefker, because Hashem was Mafker, because there's Nafkai to the Malka. Now here comes Virak. This is what the Beis Yosef is arguing. But we need to understand this much deeper. He says, the rak in Godar es karmo, only in a situation where a Jew builds a fence around his vineyard, his property. Vehera bepoal beferus she'eno mafkiro. And he goes beferus. Again, the guy puts up signs and makes a fence. And he goes bekum va'asei against the Efkayt of the Malka. In other words, when everything is just left up to Hashem's devices, kivyachol, and everything is just left alone, there's no question. The Beis Yosef agrees that there's an Efkayt to the Malka. However, Hashem Yisbarach gave the human being unbelievable koach, tremendous bechira. This conforms, by the way, with Rav Kook's entire view of everything, this whole Hashkafas Chaim, that Hashem Yisbarach gave a person tremendous koach, and he learns the pshat in the Beis Yosef, in Rakim Goder es Karmo Vehera Bepol Beferish She'enu Mafkiro, that if a Jew goes and he shows Beferish, I am not Mafkir my field. I'm not Mafkir. I am opposed to the Efkayt of the Malka. It's a chutzpah, a tremendous chutzpah. But if a person does that, Bazeh, in that situation, Nota HaBeis Yosef L'Chadesh, the Beis Yosef is inclined, L'Chadesh, to be Mechadesh, to say this Chiddush, V'yesh Lomar, Sha'af Al-Pi, Sha'af Al-Issur Torah, even though this guy is a Rosha, and he's been over in Issur Torah, by closing down his field, by overriding the Efkayt of the Malka, Mikom Lakom, nevertheless, Mo'eleth Cheskoso Lahachzik Bishalo. His Chazaka works Lahachzik Bishalo to continue with the status quo of holding on to what's his, what he bought. V'yeh Semidin Hefke. And to uproot it from the Hefke of Kaita the Malka. It's unbelievable. He has the power to be opposed to the Hashem made the Efkayt of the Malka. Hashem gave each and every one of us the Bechira Chavshus, the choice to uproot the Efkayt of the Malka. Umimela, if you do that, Umimela, Chayiv Maisus. If you made that decision and you uproot it from its state of Efkayt of the Malka, it's a rishus, it's a chutzpah. But by doing that, we're successful, and it's not Hefke. And because of that, it's Chayv and Trumas and Maisus. And then he goes on to at what point in time is the Beis Yosef talking about? Is it before the Peiros grew? Is it after the Peiros grew? Let's not go into that right now. Now, just where we are so far, turn over the page. I did not make this. I wish I was that kind of a person that was so organized. I appreciate people that do these kind of things, but I'm not good at it. But there's a marvelous sefer that came out the Erev Shviyas from a person actually was once here in the shul years ago, Rabbi Yosef Tzvi Rimon. It was one of the rabbanim of the Misnach from the Rech Hashem Talmud Chacham, who wrote a sefer that was actually, I got it in Lashon HaKodesh. When it came out in Hebrew, but I saw somebody had it here. It's translated to English. It's a very close to the safe. If you want it about Shemitah, there are a lot of swarm on Shemitah. If you want it in English, I'm not a maven, but what I've seen, there's nothing that can compare to Rav Rimon. It's in all the stores now, but in English, Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon. Yeah.
Rabbi, this last case that we're talking about, someone doesn't make their field happy. But is he over on everything in Shemitah? I mean, Shemitah is complicated. There's planting, there's harvesting. And let's say he just says, I don't want to make my field happy good. I just don't want to lose the money. I'll take off tomorrow on my field.
Yeah, he's over every day.
Right.
It could be every minute of the day, or with anything that he's doing, which is in violation of deraisa or derabbanan. There are lots of deraisas, lots of derabbanans. So he's having a bad year. Religiously, it's a very, very serious thing. All right. Lucky for him, according to most Rishonim, Shemitah now is a derabbanan. It's not a deraisa. So, So, but according to the views, there's still deraisas, deraisas and rabbanans. According to the views, drabbanans. So drabbanans all day long, drabbanans, drabbanans. And we're going to see how that works. Every day, every minute of the day, but drabbanans all over.
We say it's a fact of the Malka, and he's saying, I'm not much of it. How's that different than him saying the thing on Shabbos, I'm not much of Shabbos, and then should be chayav and tefillin?
You can't change Shabbos. You can't change Shabbos into Chol, because that's not just an akayda demarka. That's a kriya dekayim. I was talking a little bit about on Shabbos. That's something which is fixed into creation that you can't change. So you can be screaming, "I'm not machshivit. I'm not machshivit," and therefore you. So I should put on tefillin because I reject the os of Shabbos, so I'm chayav the os. Of that actually that was raised. That issue was raised by one of the Rishonim. I don't want to say for sure. I remember that it was raised by one of the Rishonim in such a case. Should that person, that Bukhari, the person should be chayav until he doesn't hold from Shabbos, should be chayav until. It's not going to work because the mechanics of Shabbos is different from, even though there are tremendous similarities between Shabbos and Shavuos. So the pure Akkad and Malka view might, maybe there would be some comparison, but at the end of the day, there's still a difference. There's still, it's an interesting point. It's a question that was raised. It's an interesting question. Okay. Shabbos. So look at the chart. First, because this will just help us to get ready to go into the Mrs. HaMelech. Probably we'll be able to just do next time, and we'll be able to go into the lumbus of what Rav Kook is saying. Rav Kook is saying a very, very interesting thing. So on the right side, the three things on the right, these are the questions that we've been addressing. Look at the three boxes on the right side. I guess if I would have had the English, that would have been nice. I'm sorry, I couldn't have the English one. Ha'imutu lakachas peres in bal hasada lo efkiran. The first question that we're dealing with is somebody allowed to go take fruit even though the balabas was not mafkir it? That's the first practical question. Are you allowed to take something when the owner says no? And he put a fence up and he says no. Are you allowed to take something? That's the first practical question. Underneath it, the second question. Do you have to take up Trumas HaMaisis if you got stuff from going on Shemitah? Like do you have to take up Trumas HaMaisis? You got something a guy gave you from his field, he bought it, he gave you, and you put the stuff together, do you have to take off from his mice? That's the second practical question. And the third practical question that we've been talking about, that we raised today, Ha'im Sarach L'Hafkir B'Tah. Do you have to actually verbally declare something Hafkir on Shemitah? Okay? On top of that, we go, let's on top. This is the pasuk that we've been learning from the beginning. This is where it all comes back to. B'Hashviyas Tishmetana Unatashta. The pasuk says tishmetenu unatashta. We spent one shiur learning what that means. All right, you have to let go. You have to let go. And you have to forsake and abandon. So mahi chovas hahafkara. What is the chiyuv of tishmetenu unatashta? What is the chiyuv of being mafkir? Beseder. So we go on the right side. Ha'im nidrash lahafkir es peros sedeyu. Ha'adam, I'm not Ha'im. Ha'adam, okay, the view of the Beis Yosef, the way that we learned it. Ha'adam, or there's a view that says, Ha'adam nidrash lahafkir his peros sadeyu. The person is required to make his peros hefkir. On the left side, which is the Mabit, Ha'tara kava sha'peros mufkar me'elehem. The Torah has established that the peros are hefkir on their own. Okay. So now, are you allowed to take? This is just to summarize. Are you allowed to take against the will of the owner, who is not mafkirit? According to the Beis Yosef, also lakachta. You can't take that. The guy rejected, he didn't make it hefker. You can't take from his field. The left side, the Mabit, would say, HaPeres Mufkarim, Gam Lelo Da'as HaBailim. The Peres are hefker, Gam Lelo Da'as HaBailim. Without the agreement of the Bailim. The next question, what about Trumas HaMaisis? So on the right side is the Beis Yosef. Chayvah l'hafkir Trumas HaMaisis. In other words, if you have something from Goyim, according to the Beis Yosef, the Goyim was never mafkirit, so it's not hefker. If it's not hefker, then you have to take up Trumas HaMaisis. The Goyim was never mafkirit, so you have to take up Trumas HaMaisis when he gave it to you. as long as you finished the sorting and putting it together, you have to go through some ices. That's according to the Beis Yosef. According to the Ma'abit on the left side, Gam b'yevul nachum, even the produce of goyim, ein chovel hafish trumas amayis b'shvis. There's no chiyah because it's by definition it's hafkai to the market. The field is hafkai, even of a goy. The guy who owns it, say that, and you certainly can't go because of gezel hakum. There'll be a problem with it. But l'maisa, there's no chiyah trumas amayis because it's hafkai. Then the third question, what about Hayim Sarach Lahafki Bepeh? So according to Beis Yosef, you would say, Sarach Lahafki Bepeh. We could understand that there's a requirement, Lahafki Bepeh, to perform the mitzvah to be mafkarit, because since it depends on your decision to be mafkarit, so then you should make it hafkar. And you should say that it's hafkar. That's Ramesh's view. According to the understanding of Ramesh and the Mabit, the pastors ain't Sarach. According to my Bita Pashtus, I don't have to say anything. Why should I have to say anything? I don't have to say anything. Why? Because it's not Captain Malchus. So I don't have to say anything. I just have to go along. I just have to not get in the way. Achmilashna Rabban, Mirish Afopichen Yesh Mitzvah Lahavki Bepeh. And as you see, it says Igris Moshe and Agoin Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Aruch. That they understood the Rambam, that the Pshat and the Rambam, they understood is to be Mavki Bepeh. It's the mafkir of that, because the Rambam uses a very proactive lotion of lahafkir, lahafkir, and what do you have to do? So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's lahafkir peh. What's the lamaisa of all of this? So the black box at the bottom. Lamaisa, berov hamikrim ein hachra brura. Lamaisa, it's not clear. What's the actual hachra? Lamaisa, ein lihikanes lesoda, lelo rishus, how we actually conduct ourselves nowadays. Don't go into somebody's field, into a non-religious Jew's field. Do not do that without rishus, if it's not mufkeres, because it was not hefker. So we'll be machmir to say that if he was not mafkerit, like we learned from the Beis Yosef, he's not mafkerit, it's not hefker. So we're strict, and lemaisa, don't go into another person's field if he has made it clear that he does not believe, or he does not accept, or he does not observe Shemitah. He wasn't mafkirit. So that's the way we conduct ourselves. We don't go into other people's fields. Peiris Nachri, what about the Peiris of a Goy? Yesh lahafish chumas amaisus bli bracha. We're machmir and we're nervous about the Beis Yosef's opinion that if a person did not mafkirit, that it's not hefker. And because of that, you should take off Trumas and Maisus, but we're choshed for the Mabit that there's enough kite to the Malka. Therefore, you take off Trumas and Maisus, but you don't make a brach. We take off Trumas and Maisus because we're strict, we're worried about the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef says that if a guy's not mafkrit, it's not hefker, and it's not hefker, you have to take off Trumas and Maisus. The guy wasn't mafkrit. So therefore, the produce of a guy, what the poskim say nowadays is that if you get something from the guy, which many people do, if you get stuff from the guy, and it's, by the way, one of the ladies in the shul called me on Erev Shabbos in a tizzy. She went to Costco and she got oranges. She got oranges from Erev Shabbos. She didn't realize. She came home and she opened it up and she says, this is the message she met in the shul. She says, no, I realized this message as well, and it could be it's not true as Meisus. And then she said, and I thought about it more. This is what she said. And it's Shemitah. Mm-hmm. So what do I do? I don't know if. So I called up and I said that you should take it back. You didn't, you know, take anything, take it back. And she said that she found that there was other stuff from Eretz Yisrael that had with the bezin that had
the date.
Yeah, it had from the, it was Mahajan, had the bezin, it was from Eretz Yisrael, but with Afshin, right here in Costco. So Lamaisa, what do we do about the situation with Peiros Nochri? What do we say about Peiros Nochri? So Yesh Lahafish Trumas Amaisus. We're chayshev of the Beis Yosef that if somebody that the guy was not mafkir, it was not hefker. We're worried about the Beis Yosef. Therefore, we're worried that Yechayev and Trumas Amaisus. So you take off Trumas Amaisus, but bli bracha, because on the other hand we have the view of the Mabit, it's an afkai to the Malka, and it's bli bracha. So it could be that it is taka hefka, even though the guy was not mafkir, so we don't make a bracha. We take off from Zamaisa, that's what they do in Eretz Yisrael. Take off from Zamaisa, believe bracha. What about hafkar betah? Do you have to be mafkir? Do you have to actually be mafkir betah? Yesh lahach melech achila, and that's what they do in Eretz Yisrael, and all of the places in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim, tell the chevra, tell all the farmers and everybody else, not just farmers, but people have their own stuff, tell them, Erev Rosh Hashanah, that they should be mekayim the mitzvah. There's a machlokas whether or not you make a shechianu also on Shemitah. It's an interesting discussion. I'm not going to go through it right now, but to say at the beginning, and it works for the entire year. You don't have to keep on repeating it. To say hinani mafkir, I mafkir all of my property, all of my fruits and my vegetables, all of the produce, I mafkir. To say that by erev Rosh Hashanah, Shemitah, to say such a thing, lishnas tovshin ayin hey, I mafkir everything that I have. That's the lemaisa of what they do in all the kehilas in Eretz Yisrael, because of Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, even though the other posts don't agree with that, but there's no problem to do it, and that's what they do. Now, to understand the innovation of Rav Kook and his understanding of this machlokes, I think that it would be silly to start it now, because we're just going to have to repeat whatever we do for the next 5-10 minutes. So Mitzvah Shem will begin that with the next year. I'm not sure, I'll let you know when that is. I'm not sure if it's possible next week. So if you could hold on to these pages, because it would make it a lot easier. So try to hold on to the pages and bring them next time.